1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful and stirring verses. My goodness sakes, Lord, they cause our imaginations to fly. We look forward, Lord, in anticipation when one day in heaven we will review this part of the Word of God as a memory that happened, not as something that's ahead for us. And we pray, Lord, today, dear God, that we would strengthen the faith of those who are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, Lord, would you take this wonderful doctrine, the truth of the rapture, and may you use this part of the Bible to bring conviction upon the heart of maybe someone who's not ready for the rapture, Lord. And may they get ready this morning and receive Christ as their Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to name the message today. I'm going to title the message today, I Hate My Alarm Clock. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to preach on. I just wanted to make that statement. I hate my alarm clock. And I do. I'll tell you, I don't swear and I don't cuss, but one time every day I'm real tempted to. Just for 1 minute or two a day, I'm real tempted to. I do. And alarm clock didn't used to bother me that much. I remember as a teenager, I'd set an alarm. A lot of times I'd wake up before then. I think where it really started was in Bible college, because I got on that crazy schedule, and I just got to the point where every time the alarm went off, I'd just get in a bad mood. I'd probably told you this story, but my freshman, I think this may be where it really started, my freshman year of Bible college. I mean, brand new freshman showed up at Bible college, and I moved into a room with Jeff Brady, who was from Rhode Island, and we got to know each other and met the first day, and of course bunk beds and trying to figure out who was going to sleep where and whose dresser and what part of the closet and all that. Well, one of the things we discussed is brand new freshman in Bible college, you know, both of us were going out of our way trying to be kind to each other and you know, letting the other one have whatever they, and so I said, do you want the top bunk or you want the bottom bunk? And he said to me, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take the bottom bunk, you take the top bunk. And he said, maybe at the semester break, second semester, we'll switch. I said, that's fine, you know. So we went our ways, and we got busy into college, and I was looking for a job, and he was looking for a job. I got a job that was kind of like a second shift job. He got a job that was more of a third shift job. And so we didn't see each other a whole lot. I would get home about 11 o'clock at night, study for about an hour, 12:30. I'd set the alarm and get ready to go to bed. Jeff would come in about 4 in the morning, and he'd always sleep about 2 hours and then get up for class. Well, I wanted to get up at 5 in the morning. He wanted to get up at 6 in the morning. Well, I knew he just came in. He came in early. He was only going to get 2 hours sleep, and it always bothered me when our schedule settled into it, because I knew that an hour into his 2 hours of sleep, my alarm was going to go off. So I was on the top bunk, and of course, I don't know how you do it, but especially during Bible college days, there's no way I could set my alarm where I could reach it and turn it off, because I'd turn it off and go back to sleep. I wouldn't even know I turned it off. So I set it on the other side of the room on the desk. But I was always worried about it going off too long. And so I kind of trained myself that Jeff would come in about, oh, he'd come in about 4 in the morning or something like that and shake the bunk, getting into the bottom bunk, and I'd be in the top bunk, and I'd look over and see it was 4 in the morning. I'd think, man, my alarm's going to go off in an hour. I need to get that thing off, and he's going to sleep an extra hour. So the alarm would go off, and I'd be on that top bunk, and as soon as it would go off, man, I'd put my feet down, raise up real quick in that bed, and kind of catapult out of that bed. Back in the days when I could actually do this without causing serious injury to myself, and catapult across that room, land right by the desk, and boom. And I had this alarm that sounded like a spaceship. It was one of those that went dee-doo, 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 kind of like that. You know, it sounded like a spaceship. Not that I've ever seen a spaceship land, but... And so every morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, the bed would shake. I'd say, oh, Jeff, 4. Oh, man, my alarm's going to go off in an hour. And I'd go, dee-doo, dee-doo, put my feet down, shoot myself out of bed, take my arms, catapult myself across, boom, hit that thing. And I got to be pretty quick at it. First week, it was like, dee-doo, dee-doo, dee-doo. Second week, it was dee-doo, dee-doo, boop. Third week, it was dee-doo, boop. I mean, I got real good at it, because I just whip my legs out and fly through the air, you know, and bam, hit that thing. Well, semester break came, and Jeff said, hey, you remember what we talked about first year? And I said, what? And he said, about switching bunks. I said, oh, yeah, we could do that. And so he took the top bunk, and I took the bottom bunk, and never thought a thing about it. Went to bed that night, and, 4 o'clock, the bed shakes, and it's Jeff. He's climbing up in it. I'm thinking, man, the alarm's going to go off in an hour. I got to get that thing off. Fall into a dead sleep. All of a sudden, dee-doop, man, my legs go flipping out. I go to catapult myself up, and there's a metal bar right above me. I'm now on the bottom bunk. I fly up into the air. That metal bar comes right across my forehead, just makes bam like that, makes contact, and it knocks me completely out. I mean, knocks me stone cold out back into my bed. I'm completely unconscious over there on the desk. I'm gone. Somewhere in the mist, I begin to hear a voice. I thought it was the Lord saying, come on home, son. It's Jeff's hanging over going, Jerry, yes, Lord. Jerry, turn your alarm off. And I wake up, oh, my soul. And I fall out of bed. I crawl over there, turn the alarm off. I'm laying on the ground. Man, I go to the mirror. I got this big red mark across my forehead. And I mean, it knocked me out. So the next night, I'm thinking, that was stupid. Next night, I go to bed about 12:30, set the alarm clock. I think to myself, come on, Jerry, you're on the bottom bunk, man. And so 4 o'clock, the bed shakes. He climbs up there. I look up, see that bar. I said, man, don't forget. And I fall back into a deep sleep. Man, the alarm goes off. I mean, folks, I've been doing this for 4 months. By the way, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he cannot depart from. As soon as that thing went off, instant reactions. Feet went down, catapulted myself up. Bam! Hit that bar again. Knocked myself out. Two times in a row. Knocked myself cold. Same voice. Jerry, finally. Yes. Oh, yes. And, oh, man. And I fell out of bed, crawled over, turned the alarm off. And, I mean, I got this big, nasty... Listen, if you're a freshman guy, you've been looking forward to meeting girls in Bible college. You're walking around with this big red welt across your forehead. It's not a good way to start, you know. And so, oh, my soul. Well, the next night, I get ready to go to bed. I set the alarm, and I sit down on the edge of my bed, and I look at that bar, and I just start crying. I'm like, I can't stop myself. What am I going to do? I'm gonna kill myself. I'm going to end up with permanent brain damage because I can't stop myself. So I finally got this idea. I went over to one of my drawers, and I opened up. My mom had sent me some extra towels, you know, and I wrapped the towels real thick around that bar. I don't think I'm going to do it 3 times in a row, but just in case, you know. Sure enough, 4 o'clock in the morning, bed shakes. I look up, towels are there. I'm thinking alarm clock. I fall into this dead sleep again. Sure enough, legs go down, catapult myself up. Bam! But I hit the towels, fall down, didn't knock myself out. Cool. And I go over and turn it off. You're going to think this is crazy, but it took me 5 days before I stopped my body from doing what I'd taken those months. By the way, that's why you ought to go to church every Sunday. That's why you got to go to church every Sunday. You know why? After a while, it just becomes a reflex. I don't know. What would it be like to be at home on Sunday? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just telling you right now. I don't know. That's why you ought to read your Bible every morning. You ought to just be a reflex. You just reach for it, you know. So, you know, listen, if you do the right things, you're going to build good habits. You do the wrong things, you're going to build bad habits. I don't know. But maybe that's where I start hating my alarm clock. You know what? I like to sleep. I work a lot of hours. I just do. And I know I'm standing, I can say this, and I'm, you know, I'm not bragging, because all over this room there's men that work as many or more hours than I do, but I work a base number of 65 hours a week. That's if everything goes right and there's no extra emergencies come up. And many, many weeks, me and my wife put in combined over 100 or over 100 hours. It's what we do. I'm not complaining. I thank God for the opportunity. Thank God that you can go to work. Thank God that you can work for the Lord. But because of that, when I go to bed, I'm tired. And you know what? I like to sleep. And I just got to the point where I do. I hate my alarm clock. I you know, the problem is, though, folks, as I was having these thoughts this week, I realized something. God's called me to be an alarm clock. Now, that's kind of discouraging, because I hate what I am. I mean, honestly, we live in a day, and the Bible warns us about this, where it's very easy for us as Christians. I'm not saying just you. I'm saying all of us. It's easy for all of us as Christians to just kind of fall asleep when it comes to the important things, to the things that are going on that we don't see, just fall asleep to the things that are eternal, to fall asleep, especially in this area of forgetting that the Lord is coming back again. Isn't it interesting that he says, listen, in verse number 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and in helmet the hope of salvation. Listen, we've got to stay alert. We got to stay awake, folks. And in this last day, it seems like Christian after Christian, I'm watching them fall asleep. I'm watching ministries fall asleep. I'm watching churches fall asleep. Folks, we've been in witness to in the last 100 years, entire denominations fall asleep, who at one time were awake and fervent and vibrant and going after souls. We can't let that happen at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. This thought just kept permeating my mind, and I decided that I'd flip through the Bible and use my concordance on my computer, and I began to go through and just look at what it cost some of the Christians in the Bible when they fell asleep when they should have stayed awake. First of all, I thought about Jacob, who slept a day's journey away from home, having to run from Esau, who swore that he would kill him. Jacob the deceiver, who had a father who knew God, but who did not know God himself. And in Genesis 28, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. In verse 16 of Genesis 28, and Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely, by the way, what an incredible statement, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. You know what? I think of so many Christians that are surrounded by the blessings of God, the miracle working power of Almighty God. Many Christians are asleep to what's going on, the supernatural. They're oblivious to the presence and power of Almighty God working right in their very midst. Hey, Blessed Old Baptist Church, are you awake? Do you understand that surely the Lord is in this place? Do you know it or do you not know it? Do you see God's hand or you don't see God's hand? Are you just putting another Sunday in? Are you here to say, what's God going to do next? I mean, we've got to watch some of the most exciting things happen this year. Funny thing happened. I got to tell you this. Just cracks me up. I met a man out in the community, and he's come across the restaurant to me and said, hey, Pastor Ross, I talked to one of your members. I just want to say, man, it's exciting what's happened at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. They were telling me this and that, and he started telling me all of the things, and he said, they told me what the theme was, and they told me of the number of people that were saved and the increase on the buses. And man alive, I just wanted to say, praise God, keep up the good work. What an encouraging thing. It was encouraging to me because not just had he come over to say thank you or to encourage me, but one of the members of our church was not just living in the presence of what God was doing, but they were aware of what God was doing and rejoicing what God was doing. 3 weeks later, somebody stopped me and said, hey, I talk to one of your members. Sorry about all the problems there at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay. I said, well, could you tell me what they are? Because I pretty much know what's going on. And I don't think, I mean, folks, don't tell me. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you we don't have problems. I mean, look around at y'all. And yeah, by the way, worse than that, look at who's standing in front of you. And we're going to have problems. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have things. But I think to myself, you know what? Here's somebody that's in the presence of the moving of Almighty God. And all they do is look around and see if they can figure out what the problems are. Here's another. Listen, surely the Lord is in this place, Jacob said, and I knew it not. You know what? It's sad if you're here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you don't know, you don't get, you're not involved in what's going around, going on around here. God is blessing. God's moving. Folks, listen, I told our bus workers yesterday, last summer, 2009, we averaged on the buses 116. This summer, 2010, we averaged on the buses 154. Surely the Lord is in this place. Do you know what's going on? Do you get what's going on? I had a friend, or one of the men in the service, and I just got to talk to Taylor about it real quick before the service. Levi said, hey, we were over at Stewart Court. Taylor got to lead somebody to Christ. He said, man, it was one of those amazing things. This is crazy, folks. So I went back and said, man, tell me the story of what happened. Well, I was knocking on the door, and he said, one of the mothers of the kids has come to our church, and the child who had gotten saved in our church came home and said, Mommy, they told me that there was something going to happen called the rapture, and everybody that was saved, he used the word evaporate. We were all going to evaporate and disappear. And then he began to cry. He said, Mommy, I don't want that to happen and you not be there. I want you to get saved. The mother's telling Taylor this. And so Taylor was able to take the Bible and go in and sit down with her. And the minute he began to read the scripture, she burst out in tears, was gloriously saved. Surely the Lord is in this place. Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know it? If you're not careful, you fall asleep and miss the miraculous movings of God. I think about Samson, who slept and lost the power of God on his life. Judges 16, what a sad story. Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart. She sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep. Get that? She made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man and caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. This is so sad. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, abounding with fetters of brass. He did grind in the prison house. Can't you picture him there? Blinded now, grinding in the prison house. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he fell asleep on Delilah's knees. Many a man of God or a godly man fell asleep in this area of personal holiness and sacred morality. Put their hand upon the lap of some Delilah, lost their testimony and the power of God along with it. The danger of sleeping, the danger of falling asleep as a born-again Christian. You can't let your guard down, young man. Sunday school teacher, you don't think the devil wants to take you out? Bus captain, you don't think the devil don't want to destroy your testimony? Are you getting this? We need to pray one for another. Surround your preacher with prayer. Surround your preacher's wife with prayer. You surround Brother Reiser with prayer. You surround Sister Alyssa with prayer. You surround our missionaries with prayers. You surround them. Listen, folks, you don't think the devil's wanting to destroy marriages? You don't think he's still in the temptation business? You don't know what's going on. I think about Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. It was sound asleep in a ship, backslidden, yet asleep, in danger of judgment, yet asleep. Jonah 1:1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As if that's possible. There's nowhere you can flee from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there came a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. Now this is amazing. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. What an incredible portion of scripture. So the shipmaster came to him. A heathen shipmaster came to a backslidden Baptist prophet and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. You know, it's one thing to be backslidden. It's one thing to be backslidden asleep. It's one thing to be away from God. It's one other thing to be away from God and asleep. I mean, can you imagine this? Here, God is shaking the ship and stirring the waves to the point where they are emptying out everything that's in that ship to keep it afloat. And you've got a backslidden Christian down there sound asleep. All of this is being done because of his disobedience. And yet he's sound asleep. The churches of Jesus Christ are thick today with backslidden Christians who are running from God in danger of judgment and putting everyone around them in peril. But they are seemingly oblivious to what their condition is causing and costing the kingdom of God. I think about Peter, James, and John, who fell asleep on the Mount of Transfiguration, almost missed seeing Jesus in his divine glory, almost missed getting to hear Jesus talk with Elijah and Moses. It says, and it came to pass after about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and James and John and went up to a mountain to pray. And he prayed, and fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Can you imagine being there, get to see this? And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Here's Jesus in his glorified body. He's now in his Godshine. Here's Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now notice this. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood by him. I mean, they slept during most of it. They were asleep. Christians today, for the most part, are asleep when it comes to our responsibility to pray. Jesus went up to pray. Did they pray? No. Because of this, many times we miss seeing the heavenly. Because we sleep instead of pray, we fail to hear the voice of God the Father. We fail to see the glory of God the Son. Why? Because most Christians today are in a deep spiritual slumber. Think about, again, Christ's inner circle. Peter, James, and John, they fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, asleep when Christ needed them most, asleep instead of learning what was dear to their Savior. You know the story. Three times Jesus went to pray, and every time he went back, found his disciples asleep. By the way, because of that, when the temptation come, when the testing come, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. You know what? When they arrested Jesus, the Bible says, every disciple fled. Every single disciple fled. Sleeping Christians, watch this. Sleeping Christians will betray Christ every time. Sleeping Christians will betray Christ every time. Our spirit is willing, our flesh is weak. Instead of watching, we sleep. Instead of praying, we sleep. And because of that, instead of standing up for Jesus Christ, what do? We flee to save ourselves. I thought about the Christians. Oh, this will be a warning to some of you Christians that are asleep when the preacher starts preaching. In Acts chapter 20, we read of a young man who slept during a sermon. His name was Eutychus. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to preach on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft. I will tell you this. I always kind of feel sorry for the guy, you know. Thinking, if I was in a service where a preacher went till midnight, I'd probably fall asleep too, you know. But I thought to myself this, I think there's a lesson here. I think there's way too many Christians. They show up, and by the way, God bless you. Thank you for being here. But you know what? Are you really here? Hey, right now, look up here. Right now, look up here. Have you been with me for the last 5 minutes? Have you listened to what the power of God and the Spirit of God is trying to share with you during the preaching of the message? Are you getting what's being taught? We can be wide awake and sound asleep at the same time. You know what? If we, one of these days, if you look around, we're not even into our program yet. During our program, we're going to have, I've asked Brother Chad and Sister Rachel to take our fifth and sixth graders out. And we're going to have, just for our 6 week fall program, we're going to have another service outside of this service for fifth and sixth graders. You know what? Why we have to do that? We're just running out of space up here, folks. When we start getting visitors into program, we've got to have some more space. By the way, our fifth and sixth grade classes together during our spring program average 39, and so you take 40 people out of here, and boy, he'll have a good time, be able to preach to them, and it'll be a good service for them. They'll have a blast. You fifth and sixth graders, look forward to that. That's going to be a blast. But I thought to myself, if one of these days the rapture doesn't happen and we have to build a new auditorium, I don't know if I'm going to put a balcony in it. story's got me worried for some of you, you know. Or I'm just going to go to some of you and say, don't even go up there. I mean, I am not Paul. And Paul might be able to put life back into this young man, but I don't know if I can do that. So anyway, we've got a balcony. Stay away from that thing. Here we see in the scriptures the danger of falling asleep. Now, we're not talking about physical sleep this morning. That's not what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is talking about. Preacher, are these conditions real today? Is the average Christian really awake and vibrant and activated and intense and on fire for the Savior? Do we have a Christian army that is charging the gates of hell, or are they lounging in the tent, slumbering around the campfires? In our text, we're warned as Christians. This warning's for Christian that in the days before the rapture, the temptation, the tendency, even the template for many will be to slumber and sleep. Remember remember the parable of the 10 virgins? 5 had oil, means they were saved. 5 were religious, but had not true salvation. But the Bible says they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. I believe that if we're not careful, you know what? We can be lulled into spiritual sleep so easily. We need to be made aware that it's very easy as a Christian, especially when it comes to the rapture. Just a preacher, I've heard it, and I've heard at this point in my life hundreds of messages on it. I know about everything about it. And preacher, it's just another message. No, this isn't a message, this is an alarm clock. That's what this is this morning. I need it and you need it. I don't like an alarm clock, but I like what the alarm clock does for me. I don't like the noise that wakes me, and I don't like waking up, but I'm always glad after I got up that, you know what, the alarm clock went off, because, you know what, if it wasn't for an alarm clock, you know what, think of the things I wouldn't have been able to accomplish. I wouldn't be able to keep a job. I wouldn't be able to serve the Lord. I wouldn't have been able to finish college. I wouldn't have been able to get married. I mean, Cheryl's a pretty smart girl. She wouldn't want to marry a lazy sluggard. Some of you boys ought to keep that in mind, by the way. And I wouldn't have had chances to serve the Lord and work in the bus ministry and go soul winning. All of the things I would have missed if I'd have just let my flesh do what it wanted and didn't let the alarm clock wake me up and get me out of bed and get me motivated and get me moving. Let me say this, folks. There's going to be some Sundays you don't like me very much, and that's okay. I don't like an alarm clock either. But it's my job. My job is to stand up here and say, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep, because I believe Christ is coming soon. I believe it could happen any day. Now, I want to just share some things with you. Get your Bibles ready. You want to look around in them a little bit. We'll take about another 10 minutes or so and give you some verses to look at. Romans chapter number 13, go there. Romans chapter number 13, there's many places, 3 specific places in the Word of God where God uses the Bible and a preacher to preach the Bible to wake up Christians as to the fact that they've fallen asleep in some specific area of their life. Romans chapter 13, notice verse number 11. And now that, knowing the time, and now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What's the alarm clock telling us? It's telling us to awake to His soon return. That's the focus of the message. Jesus is coming again. I know, preacher. Jesus is coming again. I said, I know, preacher. Jesus is coming again. Listen, I don't want you to know it. I want you to let that truth get you out of sleep, get you out of slumber, get you off your spiritual bed. I want it to drive you into the highways and byways. I want it to cause you to sit down and write that letter to that lost family member that you say you're concerned about and you used to pray for, but you've fallen asleep in that area of your life. See, that's what the Word of God's supposed to do to you. God wants us to awake to the fact that He's coming back very soon. Let me ask you a question or two. Number one, are you saved? Are you saved? You know what this preacher's trying to do? If you're not saved today, if you don't know 100% sure that if you died right now, you go to heaven, I'm being used as God's spiritual alarm clock to wake you up to the fact that you better get saved because Christ is coming back again. Now, I want you to understand, we were given the details In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. By the way, the Bible teaches us he'll come only to the clouds, not all the way to earth, with the voice of the archangel. And I think all of the angels of heaven is going to shout together when Jesus finally comes. The trump of God. And listen, old Michael or Gabriel, whoever's got the trumpet up there, he's practicing it up. And when Jesus descends, he's going to let out a burst. And listen, every saved person's going to be snatched off of this earth. We'll go up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. From there, he'll take us on to glory. Every single child of God is going to disappear in the twinkling of an eye. That means if you're lost and you're here today, and you know, without Jesus Christ, and Christ was allowed by the Father to come down and get his children right now. I mean, if it happened in the next 5 seconds, and 5 seconds before, faster than you can blink, you'd look around, this preacher would be gone, and most of the people in this room would be gone. And you know what? You'd be left, and you ought to understand, you don't want to be left. The world will then go into 7 years of tribulation. Listen, preacher, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to wake you up. If you're not saved, get saved today. Get saved today. And if I was here and I wasn't saved, you don't have to wait for the invitation. You come on right now. We'll get somebody to take you off the side, take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But you know what? This is the message is today. We need to awake to his soon return, and that knowing the time. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Here's another question. Are you saved but asleep? Say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm ready. But are you asleep? Are you spiritually asleep? I implore you to live like the children of light. Awake to his soon return. Number two, go to Ephesians chapter number 11, or chapter number 5, if you will. Ephesians chapter number 5. There's another area that the Word of God wakes us up in. And another awake verse, if you'll let me say this, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Notice the admonition in these verses. Folks, I can't break all these verses down. Christians, please listen to the Spirit of God as I read them. Ephesians 5:11, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Folks, one of the reasons some of you have fallen asleep is you're hanging around the wrong crowd. You know, you're not going to hang around with a bunch of deadheads and not become a deadhead. You're not going to hang around with a bunch of scorners and not become a scorner. You're not going to hang around with a bunch of carnal Christians and not become a carnal Christian. I want you to hang around Christians or lost people long enough to love them and long enough to give them the gospel. Listen, but evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Are you listening? Now get this. It says in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know what? Those instructions are to Christians. It says also in 1 Corinthians 15:34, I'll just read it to you, awake to righteousness and sin not. You know what? We need to awake to his soon return, but we need to awake to our sinful condition. We sin. Let me just say this, folks, please drop the defenses. Let the Holy Spirit work here. I'm saying we as Christians, we sin so freely, so willingly, so regularly, that it hardly bothers the average Christian today to break a holy command of God. We've just fallen asleep to righteousness. We've fallen asleep. Well, everybody else does this. We're not everybody else. Everybody else watches that. We're not everybody else. We're a child of God. We're the children of God. We're the children of light. It's sad. I've seen Christians in a lot, seems like the last few, several years. I'm going to say this. Just put your seatbelt on. But I've watched Christians cry about everything except about what they ought to be crying about. I've seen Christians weep because of selfishness. I've seen them weep because of pride. I've seen them weep because of personal loss. I've seen them weep because of bitterness. I've seen them weep because of financial loss. But where are the Christians who weep over their sin? By the way, every once in a while you see it. I was up in Letts, Iowa this summer, and I was preaching to a teen camp, and man, Thursday night we had an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. I wish you could have been there. I wish you could have seen it. God did some unusual things on the last night of that camp meeting. And matter of fact, it got to going. The camp director's a brand new guy. He hadn't done it very long. So I quit talking and went back to sit down in the midst of the invitation. He started to get up, and I said, come here, Todd, come here. I said, sit down right here. And he kind of looked like, I said, just sit down right here. And he said, he sat down beside me. He looked over at me and I said, brother, sometimes you just need to be quiet and let God do it. And man, we just sat around there and watched for about 15, 20 minutes. I was watching, listen, I was watching groups of young people get together and weep. I walked over after that service was over to places in that auditorium that was literally wet with the tears of young people getting right with God. But here's the most amazing story. Watch this. Most amazing story is I'm standing up on the platform. After a little while, about 15 minutes, I taught, get up there and say something now. Get up there and start giving them direction. Start bringing the meeting to a close. You see, God had come and he'd moved and it was time. And about that time, I stood up because he stood up. And here come a counselor up. I thought he was going to come get me to pray with one of his teenagers. He came to me and I'd never seen a man's face so broken, tears, red eyes. He looked at me and he said, Brother Ross, I've been down there in the corner praying. He said, I've got sin in my life and I've ignored it for so long and I've done nothing about it for so long and I'm crying and begging God to forgive me and restore me. Preacher, I just feel like I need some prayer help. Please pray with me. I got down, put my hand on him. We got down right out there on the platform on our faces. And I put my hand on him. I began to pray, God, please forgive and restore this man, dear God. Lord, he's broken over his sin, God. And you know what? And while I'm praying, he's sobbing. He's weeping. Not over somebody else's sin. Not over his teenager's sin. Are you listening to me, adult? You want your teenager right with God? You get right with God. Did you hear what I said? You want your teenager right. You weep over their sins and you won't weep over your own. Sunday school teacher, you want to see revival in your class? Then get your sin figured out. Get your sin taken care of. When's the last time we flooded the altar? Not because we are praying for somebody else, because we are brokenhearted on what's going on in our life, our shortcomings, how we've disappointed our Savior. Are you getting this? Awake to our sinful condition. 1 Corinthians 15:34. I'll read the whole verse to you now. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to our neglected duty. Our neglected duty. So that's what I do. I come up here from time to time and I, in this area. By the way, you're going to hear a lot of preaching on this in the next few weeks. So just get used to it. You know what? The alarm clock's going off. Here comes the alarm clock. It's going off. Wake up, Christians. You're neglecting your duty. Wake up, Christians. Where's Sister Nancy? Am I sitting there into an epileptic fit yet? Wake up, Christians. Wake up. You're neglecting your duty. You're neglecting your duty. What's that? Bible says that there are some that have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Please listen to me. The next door neighbor, your next door neighbor needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Excuse me, but I don't live there. It's not my job to get it to him. It's your job to get it to him. Excuse me. Excuse me. Your family member needs the gospel of Christ. Stop praying for somebody else to go. You go. Well, they won't listen to me. When's the last time you tried? When's the last time you tried? Are you getting this? The man who works beside you, sir, at your place of employment, does he have a knowledge of God? Does he understand the gospel? Does he know he's on his way to hell? If not, I speak that to your shame. Awake to righteousness, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Young people, the student you share the lunch table with, the student you set beside on the bus on the way to your public school, do they have the knowledge of God? Do they know they're lost? Do they know the gospel of Jesus Christ? If they don't, I speak that to your shame. Children who play in the yard, please listen to me, the children who play in the yard up the street from where you live, who are on their way to hell, if you won't go down there and say, hey, we got a bus, and we're doing some special things, we're having some special Sundays, why don't you let the children ride the bus? You know why my mom and dad finally came to church? Because somebody came and tried to get them to send the children to church. That's exactly right. Somebody said, you know what, I don't know if we can reach that couple, but maybe we can reach their children. And because they got a burden for the children, the whole family was reached for Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? What I'm saying is, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Preacher, are you going to like your alarm clock in the morning? I'm not going to like my alarm clock in the morning. And I'm not going to like it Tuesday, and I'm not going to like it Wednesday. But you know what? Can I say this? I thank God for my alarm clock. You know why? Because if that thing didn't go off, think of all the things that I would have laid there and not got done for the Lord. Because the flesh never likes being stirred out of its slumber. But you know what? If we don't get stirred here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're going to sit here and watch an entire community go to hell, and the blood will be on our hands. I just finished up my weeks of broadcast on Ezekiel. And you know what? The second Tuesday broadcast that I taped, I decided I'd spend some time talking about what God told Ezekiel when he commissioned him into the ministry. He said, here's the deal, Ezekiel. He said, I put you as a watchman on the wall. He said, you know what your job is? Blow the trumpet to warn the people. He said, if they're in iniquity, if they're lost, if you don't tell them, they're going to die and go to hell, but I'm going to require their blood at your hands. He said, now if you share the gospel with them and you know what? They don't get saved, they're still going to go to hell, but you know what? You'll save yourself. You won't have to stand in judgment. You won't have to stand in answer for the fact their blood will not be on your hands. He said the same thing about the righteous, talking about the saved. He said, you see a righteous person that starts going, don't get mad at me, Christian, when you start going cattle-wop and I get into your grill a little bit and say, what are you doing? You know what I'm doing? It don't matter what you say. Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about getting blood off my hands. If you start backsliding, you know what? I'm the watchman on the wall. I'm supposed to come up to this pulpit and say, hey, you better take account of yourself. Better check things out. If I love you like I ought to love you, I'm going to come to you privately probably and say, hey, listen, you're getting off track. You need to get right with God. You need to get some things squared away in your heart and in your life. You know what? If you don't do anything about it, then you don't know anything about it. You'll suffer whatever judgment comes with a backslidden life. But you know what? If I don't say anything, your blood's on my hands. If I do say something, you know what? I don't have to stand before God with blood on my hands. Please listen, Christians. You know what this is all about? Just waking us up. Hello, wake up. Wake up. You know what? You guys right here on the front row, if you wanted to, in the next couple months, you get excited about your salvation, excited about what God's done in your life, get burdened for the kids in your school. You know what? You could fill up two or three more rows of young guys just like you. That's a scary thought. Amen. You could go get them. You know what? They might not come for me, but they might come for you. You young ladies listening to me? You get a burden. You get a burden about the town that you live in. You get a burden about the neighborhood you live in. You say to your bus captain, hey, you know what? What can I do to help? I know some kids. Maybe I can get them to come. Can I go with you and visit some on Sunday? Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Let's get busy for the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, so much for allowing me to preach this message. Lord, I feel like, dear God, this is much a wake-up call for the preacher. Much as a wake-up call for the pastors, it is a wake-up call for the pew. And so I pray, Lord, that you would energize us through the truths of the Word of God. Lord, the old flesh don't want to do anything. The old flesh wants to sit and watch TV. The old flesh wants to be lazy. The old flesh doesn't want to go across the street and talk to anybody about Jesus. God, help us not to be Christians that are ruled by the flesh. That's what the children of darkness serve. That's what the Gentiles serve, Lord. Help us to be children of light. Dear God, help us to wake up. Wake to righteousness. Awake to the coming of Christ. Awake to our neglected duty. Help us to get busy, Lord, in these areas of our life. Lord, use, please, this message in our life. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Listen to me, young person. Listen to me, adult. If you died right now, if you died in the next few minutes, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Have you ever been truly saved, truly born again? Can you look back on the timeline of your life and can you say, I can remember a place and a time where, you know what, I was under Holy Spirit conviction over my sin and my lost condition. I understood the gospel. I was drawn by the Father and I prayed in a simple act of faith, trusted Jesus as my Savior. Can you look back and find that spot? If not, then you're not saved. If not, you're not okay. You're not ready. And I want you to be ready today. You've listened to a preacher that loves you. You're in a church filled with people that love you and are praying for you. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure. But I really am under conviction, and I feel like God's trying to do something in my life. Preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure what would happen. I'm fearful of what might happen. Please pray for me, preacher. And by the way, I won't come get you. I won't call your name. I won't embarrass you in any way. I promise you that. But I will pray for you. Would you slip your hand up? I'm not saved. I'm not saved, but I'd like you to pray for me, preacher. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. somebody else, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure what would happen if I was to die. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Those of you that raised your hands, in just a minute, we're going to stand. Not yet, but in just a minute, we're going to stand. And then we're going to have the piano player begin to play. As soon as they begin to play, we have men up here that'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible. If you're a man or young man, we'll get a man to take the Bible. Young lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. We care about you. Listen, don't put it off. As soon as we begin the invitation, you come. I'm going to pray for you first. Christian, let's just be truthful with God. Preacher, come on now. Preacher, I needed to be woke up a little this morning in some of these areas of my life. Would you raise your hand and join mine up in the air? I needed it. I needed it. I'll tell you this week, I needed it. I needed it. Dear God, please help us. Lord, thank you for these hands that are raised. Thank you for these that raised their hand for salvation. I would pray, Lord, that they would be saved. I pray for every Christian, dear God. Lord, it's not an abnormal thing. It's a normal, natural tendency for us as Christians to fall into a slumber, Lord. That's why you send these wonderful awake verses in the Bible. Stir us up. That's why you bring a preacher to the pulpit to remind us of eternal things. Lord, this is one of the reasons we come to church, so that we'll be stirred afresh and anew. Lord, whatever you're doing in the lives of each Christian, please, Lord, have your perfect will and perfect way. I want to pray again for these two that raised their hand. Maybe more that I didn't see, but I know two for sure that raised their hand. Lord, as soon as we begin to play, the piano player begins to play in just a second, Lord, may they just say, excuse me, to the person next to them, come to the nearest aisle, head right up here to the front, so that we can show them how they can be saved and they can settle that today. Go home knowing for sure that heaven is their home. Lord, bless, please, our invitation.